morning. Today is Monday, July the 18th, 208th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is the bank dude and rodeo survivor, John Dalby.
Rodeo survivor.
Yeah, kind of looks like you had a rough weekend there, buddy.
Always good to see you, Brian. There goes my credibility.
Yeah. Well, I just tried to give you a little working room for the day. Our quote this morning, which of these dog ones did you want?
Every dog has its day.
Oh, okay.
That was the quote.
From Greek.
Isn't that amazing?
Huh. I didn't know they had dogs. Suppose they do. I love the one, a barking dog seldom bites.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, as we have 2 weeks of the political conventions.
Well, I guess that's true. While it's actually barking, it's not biting. It's when it stops barking.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
It's the quiet dog that you want to be concerned about that's about ready to take a piece from you. So, middle of summer. How's life in Bankingville?
You know, things are going well right now.
Regulatory wise or just in the local area?
Now, the regulatory side of everything continues to get more difficult. I've yet to have a regulator show up and say, oh, by the way, we don't need you to do that anymore.
Oh, really?
They always add to it.
Oh.
You don't have that experience with the FCC, do you?
Next. I may be dumb, but I'm not dumb enough to incriminate myself.
On air.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that you are. So the regulatory is increasing, or has there been a bit of a respite? You know, with a political cycle, you might be able to think, well, geez, maybe things aren't going to be continuing to be so micromanaged at this point. Wait for the new administration.
Yeah, we've got Basel III. We've got FASB's coming out with some new requirements for loan loss provision. BSA, which would be Bank Secrecy Act, and anti-money laundering is always ramping up. And then cybersecurity is huge these days.
More so because of some of the problems that are going on experienced?
Well, we've had two issues, neither of which were is actually cybersecurity, but identity theft. And that's becoming huge right now. And, I would just caution everybody, when you get an email, if you don't know who it is,
the phishing scheme?
Phishing, whaling is a new term.
Whaling.
Whaling, yeah.
Oh.
We had somebody just got hit.
A whale.
Whaling.
Yeah, okay.
So you can get an email from somebody, you think it's from somebody, but it's somebody pretending to be somebody. And that actually happened. An employee, of a multi-area business got an email that they thought was from their boss telling him to wire money to a certain account. And they did.
Oh, my.
And it wasn't from their boss.
Shocker. I'd probably get a phone call, yeah.
So these are really, really challenging things to be aware of.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby, the president at Redwood Capital Bank. All three branches recognize your presidency, right? Okay.
I understand there's a rebellion in one of the branches.
Yeah.
But
go in with tanks and we'll see what happens. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Before the break, John, you were talking a little bit about cyber security, identity theft, things of that nature. And what was 5 years ago, 7 years ago, phishing was a big deal. And boy, if you don't recognize the attachment, don't.
Correct.
Okay. And I don't know, maybe that's kind of waned now to be replaced by either this whaling phenomenon you were talking about or some other creative thing that they come up with.
Well, fishing's still out there.
Is it?
Oh, it's huge. I bet I delete 60-70% of the email I have that I get because I don't recognize who it's from.
Oh, not just mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Brian Patterson. Oh, never met that guy.
Yeah.
Wish I hadn't anyway.
Yeah. Right. No.
And you know, occasionally I'll get somebody say, "Did you get my email?" And I go, "Okay,
maybe.
I didn't." Strangely, I did this with my son. That was my son. Because it said Nicholas. And he goes by Nick.
Right.
And so
right.
I got an email. I rarely get an email from him. So when Nicholas, I don't know any Nicholas.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting a Nicholas.
Well, yeah, anything out of the norm.
So exactly. And so you got to be just incredibly careful about anything you open. Banks do not ask you to respond with any identification information. So if you get an email that you think is from a bank and they're asking you to put in a social security number, date of birth, driver's license number, anything, do not respond to that. Pick up the phone and call the bank, or better yet, if you're online, go online to that account.
Make the overture yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get something that says there's a problem with your account, don't respond to the email. Go online and respond directly, or go to the bank and respond directly, you know, by phone or in person.
So it's not necessarily an attachment anymore. They're just looking for some information exchange.
It could be anything you click on. And in fact, it can be a box that comes up and has a little red arrow or X on it to make the box go away. Well, that box might be what it's going to download to trigger putting that malware on your computer.
Interesting. I turn the images off so I don't see pictures. I just don't want to wait.
But you get a little box
download.
Comes in, warning.
Put the pizza box on any of them. Yeah,
yeah, you might get one that says, "Warning, this could be spam." So you hit the red X, and you now download it.
You're right.
So, I mean, they're extremely clever. A couple of things you can do is if you get an email from somebody and you're not sure if it's correct, take your mouse, your little arrow or your hand, finger, whatever it is that you have.
That is the finger you're showing me, yes.
Go ahead and hover that over the email address, the link, and the real address will come up. And a lot of times they're not the same. And that tells you somebody's trying to trick you.
Something's goofy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, some of the tricks and then the responses to the tricks that come up.
So the best thing is if you don't know who it is, don't respond. That's just don't touch anything. Just delete it and get rid of it.
You don't have a Saudi prince in your background either?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And, okay. You know, the other thing is keep your computer up to date.
Oh, with the updates?
All the updates. Same thing with your phones, your iPads. You know, all those updates are very important.
I hate those things. Well, it's like I did went from 7 to 10 finally, or Justin forced me to. Our IT guy. And everything gets reset again. You know, it's like,
oh, you big baby.
How many files do I want to go through changing the form back to the icon from the listing thing? You know, it's like, oh, I mean, it's been like 3 months, and there's still some, tells you how often I get in some of the files I have. But it just, those are the types of things that I just, well, it's why I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably stupid, and that's why I need Justin.
Yeah, to tell you that you're stupid. To do it.
Yeah, do the update. It's been 5 years now. It's time.
Right.
Yeah. With any of the things around our personal information, you, I would imagine, could go overboard, stupid, crazy, and just be paranoid the whole time. Or you could be really laissez-faire and set yourself up for issues. Where's that happy medium in the middle for balancing what to do, what not to do, what to be concerned about, but not to be over the top about?
Well, anytime you're inputting your social security number, date of birth, driver's license number, name, address, those are things that can be used by somebody in identity theft to open accounts in your name. We had somebody that had had given out that information somehow, and they actually open up an online banking account and attached to their account, and were able to siphon some money out. Now, that's not cyber, it's not a cyber attack. Their systems weren't breached. You know, it was just somebody had all of the identification they needed to do what, is normally done online. So just be very, very careful about giving that information out.
I would think date of birth is probably the easiest thing in the world if somebody wanted to find it.
Well, I remember I used to have that stuff printed on my checks. Where you used to put your driver's license number.
Oh, yeah, right, the lazy guy. Yeah, the driver's license number, yeah.
So they didn't have to check it every time.
Yeah, thinking we were smart.
Yeah, now you'd never do that.
Yeah, some of that stuff is interesting, and I guess it's just a step back and think about it.
Well, when I went to school, your student identification number was your Social Security number. You recited it constantly.
Yeah. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, John Dalby. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. John, before the break, we were talking a little bit about some of the different challenges that are out there in the identity theft, cybersecurity, those types of things, which is certainly one area of emphasis that you guys have got in the banking and financial community. One of the things that you had mentioned a couple months ago, and I think now that we've got all the propositions locked down and numbers, 64 is the legalization proposition. Has there been any movement at all in the banking regulatory realm as states are passing legalization for recreational to allow you guys and gals to be able to accept monies from either legitimate now or legal companies in this industry, or those who will be legal after the voters vote?
Well, there's an assumption in your question that is the problem. And that is, you use the term legal. It's legal according to the state of California if this proposition passes. The problem is, federally, it's illegal. If you have a 215 card and you are in possession of marijuana, that is a Type 1 drug, Category 1 drug, and that is a felony. Now, the feds have chosen not to enforce that currently, but it is still a felony, which means...
Well, try to fly an airplane, and you'll see where the regulatory compliance comes into play really quickly, right?
So the problem is that all of the stuff that's legalized, and I've been in contact with a lot of banks up in Oregon because it's legal
there.
I'm trying to find out what they're doing about it and how they're handling it. But right now, you cannot, you're in violation of the law if you bank somebody who is directly involved in the marijuana industry, whether it's growing, manufacturing, or distribution of marijuana products.
Anything.
It is a felony, period.
How far do you have to go to determine the source of the income? I come in, I've got, God willing, $15,000 in cash today. Mm-hmm. Okay, somebody prepays or whatever happens, okay. I come in, how do you know that I don't have a grow down by the towers and harvest just came in? How far do you have to go to find that out?
So we are supposed to know our customers. And there is a whole protocol involved in that, which I can't share on the air.
Well, you have to kill every one of us, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's not that secretive. But the bottom line is there are certain things we have to do and certain things we don't have to do. Although the regulators have suggested that it's now not only know your customer, but now know your customer's customer. And
sure.
We're not really sure how to do that yet.
Okay, let's
say. But that's where it's headed.
In my scenario, my evil twin is who you'd be not able to bank
with.
Two of
you? That's really scary.
Okay.
That's and a scary
me,
scenario, by the way.
I decide that I am going to start playing poker. High stakes poker. And I have abilities so that they both are
right.
Coming in the same amount of money, same pattern, whether it's weekly, monthly, whatever it is. One is legal, one is not legal. Okay? How do you have to... I mean, how much effort, how much energy do you have to go to chase this stuff down to protect your backside when the regulators come in and say,
That is a challenge. At the same time, just because you're putting cash in doesn't mean I can't accept it.
Say that again?
Yeah, if you brought cash in, you brought $15,000 of cash in, we would take the deposit and then we would file certain reports.
Oh, just documenting the
exactly
the event.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if there's a pattern over a period of time,
correct,
it becomes acceptable. Here comes Papstein again with 15,000 cash. If that's a weekly event, does that then take the heat off?
Depends on the,
or does that ramp it up?
It depends on the results of our investigation.
So you have to either hire somebody or spend
we do it
resource
ourselves.
Time.
We do it ourselves. Yeah. So anyway, these are the challenges. Is it legal or is it illegal? And the question is, and you hear people, as soon as they start saying, well, it's a legal business now. No, it's not.
Bells, whistles, red flags,
and
yeah.
I've gone around in circles with certain elected officials because they'll say, well, this is a legitimate business. No, it's not. Federal law trumps state law. Every time.
And you're regulated federally. It's like us.
It doesn't matter whether you're regulated federally or not. I mean, if you have any marijuana, it's a class one drug, that is a felony. Now, it's just not being enforced. And so if somebody has a 215 card, they think they're legal. Well, they're not. And until the federal government removes that law, it's still a felony.
You'd have a tough time as a sheriff, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and the sheriff, imagine the quandary they're in because, here's somebody committing a felony right in front of them, but the
won't
world
be
is choosing not,
locally.
Not
yeah.
It's like, what if a state came up and said, okay, you can now murder? The state of Florida decides you can murder people. It's okay. What's the difference? It's still federally illegal.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. John, the intriguing thing, I think, for a lot of us, outside of being federally regulated, is, okay, what about the state? You hear about state charters. You hear about state banks.
Mm-hmm.
Are they in a different boat because they don't have the federal regulations?
No, they do have the federal regulations.
Even if they're a state bank.
Because they're FDIC insured. We're a state bank. But we're FDIC insured. So the FDIC is a regulator. Now, we could become a member of the Federal Reserve Bank, and we wouldn't be regulated by the FDIC, but by the
You're still
Federal Reserve.
Though.
But it's still, yeah, you have a federal and a state regulator.
So is there any...
And let me just circle back real quick to
okay.
a comment. I mean, I was talking about murder in Florida and if it was legalized. I'm not trying to say it smoking marijuana and murder are the same thing. They're just trying to illustrate that if you take it to an extreme, if it's federally illegal, it's federally illegal. And that's the case with marijuana. And so, you know, I wish the feds would just do something. Because we're in limbo.
No,
we're in no man's land right now.
So is there a legal way, I guess that would be the term, a legal way for someone who is in the marijuana industry now, direct, not secondary, directly involved, to have their money not in cash?
No. Not without deceiving a financial institution. There are some credit unions. Let me back up. I have been told there are some credit unions and maybe a bank or two that is doing this.
The risk versus reward is just they're willing to do it.
Now, at one time we were told there was 102 banks, and so we started searching to find one so we could talk to them to see what they were doing, and found out there was one, and it stopped doing it.
So a little urban mythology
exactly.
going on.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's rumors of banks and credit unions that are taking marijuana deposits, but we haven't found one to talk to them yet.
Yeah, and I suppose tracing it back is kind of tough to do, too, to find out where the rumor source was.
Correct, yeah.
Huh. So it's kind of like the old days of the Wild West.
Right. So we're studying this thing constantly, talking to our regulators, talking to our attorneys.
There's got to be recognition of the situation.
Because we see the problem at the same time. I can't put, my shareholders
You're not going to put the company out there for this.
Exactly. So you have that challenge.
Do any of the lobbying entities, are they starting to push at the federal level? Because if there are four or five states, pretty soon there's going to be enough that it would be significant enough pressure. Somebody's got to be paying attention somewhere.
And is the answer enforcement or is the answer in changing the law and decriminalizing marijuana? I mean, that's going to be the debate.
Ah, that's for the fall.
Yeah.
That's not for now because we've run out of time. Thanks for coming by.
Always.
Your turn.
Always a pleasure to see you, Brian.
Thank
that sounds
you.
Sincere.
Yes. See y'all tomorrow.